sitting room only here at church, Lord willing, by faith, it will be standing room only in just a short period of time. We don't know exactly when that time will be, but soon. And so we greatly thank you for your patience and accommodating as we are doing most of everything these days virtually. I'm not used to speaking on this mic and having normally there's people here that fill the room, and therefore there's more echoes than normally, this too shall pass. But nonetheless, this is the Lord's Day. It's the Sabbath day, and typically at church we get to welcome one another. And so if you have family around you, wish them a happy Sabbath and welcome them. If it's just you, just turn to the Lord above and tell them, thank you, Lord, for another Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Jim, happy Sabbath. We have a modified program this morning. In fact, what you see is what you get, even if you have no coronet. But nonetheless, there are some things I'd like to bring to your attention. Most of you have been able to pick up your Sabbath school lesson, but nonetheless, there are some of you that have not been able to, and so we are making arrangements to be able to leave those on your doorstep, and that way you can have access to that and move forward, because believe it or not, we may have forgotten, today is 13th Sabbath, and so this afternoon, our new lesson starts, our new week, that is, study-wise. And so take advantage of our new Sabbath school lesson that is focusing on hermeneutics. How do we interpret the Bible? Not only do we live stream this morning, but we also have other virtual events happening. Every night at 8 p.m. is a very special time where if you have a Facebook account, we are coming together and praying. And we have people praying from here in Roseburg, of our church, not people in Roseburg who don't attend our church. We have people praying in different parts of the state, different part of the West Coast, East Coast, Midwest, across the seas. They are coming together to pray. And so take advantage. I know we're pulled in many different directions, and our schedules have been greatly affected of how we do things. In fact, we may not only have our schedule affected, maybe even our belt buckle is being affected as we're not going out and about as much as we normally do, but it could be easy to pack on some pounds. Hopefully that doesn't happen a whole lot. But at 8 o'clock, if you have a Facebook account, tune in and let's pray together, and you will see what God will do in your life and in mine. But that's not the only virtual event that we're having as a church. Tuesday and Thursday nights, you can come over to my own personal Facebook account, and we're studying the Bible together. It's amazing what God is doing as those of us who are in the faith, our faith is getting strengthened, and there's many, many people who are watching around the world and studying together, and it could be their very first time. What an opportunity to partake of that journey together with them. So that's also Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. on Pastor Tony and Sayuri's Rodriguez's Facebook account. All right. There's some other things that we'll make mention as our program continues, but those are all the announcements that we have at this moment. And I don't know if you heard the birds singing this morning, but they were singing. And if the birds were singing, we're going to sing one song as much as we can this morning. We live in a time of worry and of fear, but I believe it's a time of praising God and trusting Him more than we ever have. And so we will sing hymn number 86.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When I think that God his Son not sparing, and him to die I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Heavenly Father, this morning around the world, hour by hour, as it turns, your people invite your Spirit in, as we do now, to be with us. Wherever two or more are gathered, there you are among them, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. How great thou art indeed. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us this day, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Although we won't be picking up an offering here at the church per se on this Sabbath morning, that does not mean that we don't have opportunity to worship him in our tithes and offering. I just noticed these beautiful flowers in the front. Praise the Lord for those flowers that were provided. You do have some options in your giving, in your worship. And one option would be from Monday through Wednesday from 1 to 2 o'clock. The secretary will be here, and you can drop those here at the church. Another option is if you can also go to RosebergSDA.org, and that is our church website, and you can click on Adventist Online Giving, and you're able to give there. As almost everybody is affected by the virus financially in one way, shape, or form. So is the church. But I praise God because who takes care of the church? God takes care of the church. I was talking with someone last night, an elderly lady, ever so faithful. She said, "Pastor, when is the church open? Because I want to make sure I return my tithes and offerings because God has been faithful to me." And so praise the Lord for these opportunities to give. Let us just pray and ask God for the blessing for these tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you because you are the great giver. And you not only gave, you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. And you gave him, but you continue giving many, many gifts. You give of your Holy Spirit. You give the sunshine and the rain. You give us strength to make it through another day. And most importantly, you give us the gift of being able to tell of your good news in these last days. So, Father, may you bless this offering as the youth of the conference and their initiatives. I have a hunch we'll be refocusing and trying to figure out how best to move forward. May they at least know that financially they are supported. And as the tithe continues to be used, Father, our conference tithe has gone down, which affects many, many things, myself included. I ask that you'll help us to be faithful in our tithe. And as we have the local mission of the church here, may we be faithful in our church budget offering. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading for today, you will find in Exodus chapter 6. As I've come in contact with many of you, the sentiment is the same. Oh, how I miss my church family. And what a blessing it is to worship together, to be together. Iron sharpens iron. And the best iron that we can find is the Word of God. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, the Bible says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I, the Lord God says, will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." And so where you are right now, if you are able to, please kneel with me as we seek the Lord in prayer. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you on your holy Sabbath day, praising you for your goodness and for your protection. To my knowledge, none of us here at Better Life Roseburg have contracted the coronavirus. And that is your blessing. That is your protection. And so although we are home and in our own dwelling places, you are with us, even though we cannot be here together at church. Father, we worship you. We worship Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we come into your presence, we not only bow, physically speaking, but our hearts we humble before you. And not just that, like Isaiah, we recognize that we have unclean hands and unclean lips. And Father, we ask that you'll cleanse us from our sins and that you'll lead us ever into repentance. Thank you because you've given us Jesus. And your word says that in him and through him we can do all things. So help us to be faithful to you. Help us to hold on to Jesus, especially in these uncertain times. And may we be filled with your Spirit. That maybe we're not going out a whole lot. That maybe we haven't stepped out of our home for a number of days. That may be so. But Father, there's many, many people who have yet to hear of the good news. So move upon us to reach someone for you, to share the good news, to be a source of encouragement to them. A particular, I ask that you will be with Jerry Casebolt, who has heart issues, who's in the hospital in Tucson. May his health improve. May you restore him completely. And may you grant him your presence and peace. I ask that you will be with all of the health professionals that are serving the community. The health professionals here in our local church. The health professionals that are serving out of the goodness of their hearts. And they're not doing it for the pay. They're doing it so they can be a blessing to somebody to save lives. So protect them and keep them and provide for them. I ask that you will be with the areas in our country and the world that are greatly affected by this virus, where lives are being lost, and may the people be spared. And may this be opportunity for healing physically and for spiritual healing as well. I uplift to you, Jim, as he shares your word. May you put hot coals from the altar in his mouth, and may your word of truth be proclaimed. And as a result of our worship here today, may we further be prepared for when Christ shall come. Thank you for our wonderful church family. Bless them and keep them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning to everyone viewing. It's a privilege that we have, that we can meet together, one in spirit, one in purpose, to our one and only God. Our Lord and Savior Jesus has brought us together. And what a privilege it is. Precious promises. Again, this is going to be our study during our sermon hour this morning, and we're going to look carefully at these verses and what it is that God has done and is going to do again for his people, because it is a blessing to us, especially at this hour of Earth's history. Therefore, says the Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. If you'll notice to begin with, that these verses begin with, I am the Lord. There are seven promises, and they end with, I am the Lord. And this is the key to it. God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. The first one we are going to look at, Exodus 6. I'm running over it, but that's all right. The New Testament refers to the promises God has made it to us as precious and magnificent. That comes from 2 Peter 1:4. There are other words associated with the promises of God. Some of them such as glory and excellence and power, but this morning it is precious because they are so precious to us. Sometimes it is hard for us to understand how, just exactly how precious and rich these promises are because of their spiritual nature. Jesus often used parables to illustrate the value of his kingdom, and in so doing he used physical examples. Things that you can identify with from our world, our surroundings, to illustrate spiritual truths concerning the value of these divine promises. Another way that the Holy Spirit conveys the value of the promises of God is by drawing parallels with historical events. And to some extent, that's what we're going to do here this morning. One well-known parallel used many times in the New Testament is that between God's people today and his people during the time of the Exodus. When we consider the promises of God made to the Israelites of Exodus and compare them to those made to us as Christians today, we find similar parallels that ought to help us see the preciousness of God's promises to us. There are seven promises, again, that we're going to look at this morning. Please note that they begin and end with, I am the Lord. I've lost number one on here. Okay, before we go to that one, number one is, he will bring us out, it says, I will bring you out. Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, that is God, Jehovah God, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The children of Israel served in Egypt under the very, very harshest of conditions. Maybe we can't understand slavery as such, but as we read it, we know that their work was very physically exhausting under normal circumstances, but it was made even more difficult when they took the straw away from them and forced the slaves to make bricks without the use of straw. That's meant there was nothing cohesive to hold it together, and it made the job even more strenuous. But listen, you don't have to be loaded with back-breaking physical labor to be burdened. Just as God promised to bring the Israelites out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, Jesus promises to give us rest right here, right now, today, from the mental, the spiritual, and the emotional burdens of life. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Come unto me, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. He gives us the peace of God, it says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So we don't need to go through life burdened with despair when we can be free in knowing the truth. You shall know the truth, it is written, and the truth shall make you free, John 8, 32. That's liberty of conscience, dear friends. No one can take that from us, ever. We are free in our minds, in our hearts, to worship God always. Now it says, and I will deliver you from their bondage. The Egyptians were very powerful in that day. Thousands of years ago, about 3,400 years ago, the Israelites did not have it within their power to break the shackles of slavery. So without God's help, they were hopelessly doomed. And today, as well, our only hope is in Jesus Christ. Sin is a cruel, cruel taskmaster. It will take everything from us that is worth anything. Sin, to be sure, has its rewards, but nothing it offers is eternal except spiritual death. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's from Romans 6:23. Even as God promised to deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage, and just as Israel could not save themselves, God promises to deliver us from the curse of slavery to sin. The domain of darkness, as Colossians 1:13 puts it, God is able and will deliver us. He also says that he will redeem us with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. To redeem something or someone is to buy them back. The Lord promised to redeem the children of Israel, and he would do it with an outstretched arm. That means by his own might, by his own power. Satan is mighty, there's no doubt about that. But God alone is almighty. So we need God to fight the battles that we encounter. His redemption would also come by means of great judgments, a reference to the 10 plagues and the destruction of the Egyptian army. It should be known that sin carries with it the punishment that it deserves. Today we think of Jesus Christ and the spiritual redemption he makes possible. It is by his power, through his sacrifice on the cross, that we are redeemed from our sins. Romans 5:6 says it this way: for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Ephesians 1:7 reads just about the same. It is by his stripes that we are healed. Acts 2:38 records that it was on the first day of Pentecost, following Jesus' resurrection, that sinners were first told to repent and let each be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was by this same outstretched arm, this power of God, that 3,000 souls were redeemed from sin that day. The day they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:41. And the day we responded in the same way, the Lord God Almighty stretched out his arm once again to redeem. And that time, it was us being redeemed from our sin. We should be number 4 here. Then I will take you for my people. My fault. Exodus 6:7, if you're there. This is still in Exodus 6. Then I will take you for my people. Well, God loved the people of Israel. He nurtured them and he protected them. These were God's own people, his own possession. And this is exactly where the Christian is, where we are at today. We belong to him. The Lord reminds us of that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price, according to 1 Corinthians 6. Aren't you glad that God is in control right here, right now, today? It is a blessing for us in this time of trials that we know our Lord and Savior, and we have that assurance of his salvation in going through these times. As his people, we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That is 1 Peter 2:9. It is time for us to live our lives with a confidence fitting of those who praise God, eternal God, constantly in our prayers as our Father. From the beginning, God has been leading his people to the promised land, and he is still leading. In Hebrews 11, we read, "They wandered in the deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." That word "better" doesn't mean that we are any better than they. It simply means that God has waited for a last day people to complete his plan of salvation and put it on display for the whole universe to see. And he says, "I will be your God." Following Jesus, following him, being redeemed by him, being delivered by him, means that he alone is our God. Back then there had been many gods in Egypt, but there is only one true God. That's why God put the Israelites there, to teach them that. And they would come to know it, even if it was a very hard way. They would meet God, the true God. And there are many gods today. There is greed, there is selfishness, and there is pride. But still today, there is only one true God. To us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we by him. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Not only does the Christian identify with God, but did you know that God identifies with us also, with a Christian? When one finds his people suffering, then it should be known that God is suffering too, because we belong to him. God shares in our grief, in the trials and the things that we are going through. This very moment on earth, with our whole planet threatened by this virus, God is as concerned as ever, more concerned than you or me. He is very concerned for us. This is why Jesus accused Saul of, quote, "persecuting me," when Saul was persecuting Christians before he met Jesus. That's in Acts 26. The lesson there is we should never face the problems of life alone. We should always face them. As they did then, we should do so now, even more so with Jesus, with God. That's 2 Corinthians 6:18. And God says, "I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." It was a long journey Israel had to make through the wilderness to get to the promised land. It is certain that the nation could not survive that journey at all without the providence of God, any more than we can survive our walk with God without him. What Israel had to do was to respect and trust in God. They had to do the marching. They had to move at God's command. The New Testament places us in the wilderness today too. We are not at home in this world, but as we live by faith, we are marching toward home. It is written in 1 Peter 2, verse 11. Though the journey sometimes seems filled with peril, we can be confident because we know that God is with us. But like Israel of old, we must be willing to do the marching. We must move at God's command or die in the wilderness. You can read up on this more in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4 and verse 2. And then God says, I will give it, this promised land, for a possession. I am the Lord. The journey, though difficult at times, would not last forever. The goal was the land of Canaan, the land described as flowing with milk and honey. It had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This land was to be the inheritance of Abraham's descendants. Though we're on a journey that at times seems difficult, like today, we understand that we have an inheritance waiting for us, a place more beautiful than Canaan of old. It is described in the pages of the Bible variously as a paradise garden, a city with streets of gold, an incorruptible crown of life, and as a treasure. But it is to be our home, and it is much more. It is much more than we could ever hope for. But it is promised to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus. There is no place like it in the universe. Here's what 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 5 says about it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection and undefiled resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, unreserved in heaven for you. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. God will bring you out wherever you are at today. Think about this. It is his word. He is promised to us. He will bring us out from underneath the burdens of life. He will deliver you from the burdens of temptation, the doings, the workings of the evil one, Satan and his cohorts. He will redeem you. This cross that we see, I'm looking directly at it. You're seeing it after the cross. Jesus, the great shepherd, has paid the penalty, the price for our redemption. He will take you, has taken you, for his people. Imagine such a thing. But he has done all of this. And he said, I will be your God. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And he will bring us to the promised land at last. And he will give it to us as he has promised. Hold fast to those promises, dear friend. Hold fast in this time of trial and need. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on. And he will see you through, as he always has done. Praise his name.
Thank you, Jim, for those words of encouragement, of comfort, of direction. And so I think as we close our worship service for this morning, If you're able to at home and still view your screen, I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing hymn number 99, God Will Take Care of You. God always does, and he's promised to do so. We just heard about it from God's own word.
Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you through days of toil when your heart doth fail. God will take care of you. When dangerous fears your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Being weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. All the way, he will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, many years ago, you led your people to the promised land. Only disobedience and a lack of faith stood in the way of their entering the land of milk and honey. But you, Lord, remained faithful then as you do today. Help us to call on your name in this time of the world's darkness and plead with others to do the same. Help us to share our bread, your word of assurance that you are here now, standing by your people, just as you promised, and that you will deliver all who will humble themselves and come to you in prayer, in faith, and receive the blessings of your promises to deliver your people as you have promised in your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
I'd like to remind us that we will continue live streaming our worship services as this lockdown continues, but this won't be forever, but you can plan on next Sabbath tuning in on YouTube, and if you're able to, 8 p.m. on our church Facebook page, you are invited to come pray together, and Tuesdays and Thursdays on the pastor's Facebook page, we can come study together. God bless you. And have a most wonderful Sabbath.